My name is Dr. Chris Araj. I'm from Houston, Texas. I got my bachelor's degree from Lamar University in Beaumont, Texas, and my doctorate of audiology from Towson University in Baltimore, Maryland.
When did you decide that private practice ownership was for you, and what characteristics do you have that are helpful to you as a business owner?
So I think I always knew, if that's a cliche answer enough. You know, I think that's something that you do kind of grow up knowing, at least maybe not at a young age, but even whenever you're in high school or college or even getting your AUD, you know, you kind of have an idea of where you want your career to go and what you kind of want it to look like. And so my father was always a business owner. He always taught me it was better to work for myself than someone else. So, you know, certainly I did have jobs where I was an employee and it wasn't fulfilling. I knew that I always wanted to either buy into a practice or start my own or take over a going business, but it just so happened that I actually did start a practice from scratch. And some characteristics, so, you know, you've got to be organized, you've got to be patient, you've got to be detail-oriented, of course. And I think you kind of have to be open-minded, too, in a nutshell. I mean, there's all sorts of advice that you're going to be given and all sorts of people trying to talk to you and tell you what they think might be right or wrong. And so I think being open-minded and kind of listening to that advice but then processing it on your own and knowing that you ultimately know what's best for you is a good characteristic to have.
Can you discuss the process that you used for financing your practice?
Sure. So I am self-financed. I am proud of that because I did do everything on my own. I started humbly. I think that's another thing to know. It's not like I had thousands of dollars to, or I'd say hundreds of thousands of dollars to spend, but it's something that I wanted to do. It's something that I'm proud of. You know, certainly I had savings that led to this. But one thing I want to tell people is that you don't have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to start a practice. I think that's something that we learn in school or we hear about from people. But I think you can do it humbly, and I think it's possible, and I'm an example of that.
And what types of services does your clinic provide?
Sure, so we do hearing testing, of course, hearing aids, tinnitus evaluations, custom earplugs, cerumen removal. One other thing I'm really excited about is that I do work with every major manufacturer, so I'm not tied to any certain groups or companies or things like that.
Work with any sort of buying group, or is it something that you just work with each manufacturer individually to negotiate that?
Sure. So that's a great question. And something I learned a lot about, I feel like, from, I guess, the other side of our profession, like the business aspect. Whenever you work in a clinic, I mean, or if you're just an employee somewhere, what I mean by that, not just an employee, but that maybe you don't think about cost of goods, or you don't think about what contracts are going on, or where you can get better pricing and things like that. So, you know, I did certainly look around. I did talk to lots of different groups and kind of see what might be better for me, going direct or something like that. And so every manufacturer is different. I guess if I'm trying to speak to each one, I mean, there's some that might be better to go direct, some might be better going through a group or something like that. So I've joined Alpaca, and I use pricing through them for some manufacturers. Some manufacturers I go direct. All the other buying groups, I guess, or maybe one general thing I could say is maybe what I learned from Alpaca and Audnet is that there's a difference between a buying group and a group purchasing organization. Maybe that's something that people don't realize, and they use those words interchangeably, but that's one thing I learned. And so Alpaca, I basically just get a lower cost of goods, and they don't help me with anything else because that's not what they do. So it's just a GPO, which gets me better pricing. But for some people, they join Audigy or Elite or AHA because they do provide all that business support, but you're basically paying for it because the hearing aids are marked up.
What is the most challenging thing about managing other people, and how have you prepared yourself for that role?
So, good question, funny answer. I'm actually a one-man show right now, so I guess that goes back to starting humbly. You know, I don't have any employees. I answer the phone, I do billing, I take out the trash, I clean the lobby, I see the patients, I do all of it. So I actually haven't had to manage anyone yet. I do have some student interns that have, you know, rotated through the practice. I mean, certainly there are some things that are the same, but, you know, I think it's a little bit different than, you know, actually managing an employee. So I haven't gotten to that part yet.
What resources did you use to develop your business plan?
So I started out with the Small Business Administration, the SBA. I think that's a great resource. They have a mentoring, I'm not sure what to call it, mentoring something, organization, something mentoring called SCORE. And it's bad, I actually forget what that stands for also, but it's called SCORE, and they pair you with a mentor in lots of different areas. So I was paired with a mentor that was an attorney. And so she, and this was all free, and she was able to talk to me on the phone, email me. She kind of helped me get my corporation started, told me what applications to fill out. So, I mean, obviously our national organizations, audiology organizations, they have some really great resources. Even with ADA, I utilize the listserv because I thought it was good to pick people's brains that have already done this. But the SBA was also a good resource for me, too. And the best thing is that all of it was free, I guess. That also goes back to starting humbly. I mean, certainly I could have hired all sorts of people, but, you know, I did a little bit of research, and I was able to do it on my own.
And in your view, what is the best thing about being a private practice owner, and what is the worst thing or most challenging thing about being a private practice owner?
So there are so many more positives to being a practice owner. I'm going to list a few of them, but almost every aspect you could think of, I think, is better now that I'm a practice owner. You know, everyone always talks about, you know, that you're in charge, you get to make all the decisions, so you're the decision maker. You don't have to, I mean, if you don't want to do something a certain way, well, you don't have to because you're the boss, so you can do whatever you'd like. You can schedule as much time as you'd like, as little time as you'd like. You can make your own schedule. Of course, your earning potential. Just being able to, I mean, in a word, be in charge. And I guess that's what, I guess that is something that's beneficial to a lot of practice owners, and that's maybe why they want to do it, because they want to have that control over themselves, you know, not necessarily be controlled as an employee by someone else. So the worst thing, I mean, if I had to pick a worst thing, I'd probably say insurance, and that's probably something that even, you know, as an employee, if you had to deal with that, that's something that no one loves to do. But, you know, since I am a one-man show right now, I do get to deal with that. So that would be the one thing that I would say is one of the negatives of practice ownership.
So what does a typical work week look like for you?
So today is Monday, and I'm actually off today. So one thing that I did differently is that I decided to be open on Saturdays. So my work week is Tuesday through Saturday. And so a typical week starts on Tuesday, and it depends. You know, I could have new patients coming in for an evaluation, a consultation. I have some patients that might be coming to me just for an evaluation. They might have had a hearing test or evaluation done at a different clinic. And, of course, hearing aids is what we specialize in, and so that's what they come to me for. I have some patients that come in for ear cleanings. I have meetings that I schedule throughout the day, whether that's to meet with a manufacturer rep to do some training of some real ear equipment. You know, if I'm researching different, you know, new equipment to buy, like a portable audiometer, that's something that I can kind of block off during the day. Have patients coming in just for, you know, checkups on their hearing aids, things like that. So it varies. I mean, it's certainly like having a schedule, seeing patients, but then you've also got to add all those other administrative responsibilities on top of it that you kind of work in throughout the day. I also have a dedicated hour for walk-ins. So the nice thing about that is if I have walk-ins, it doesn't necessarily interrupt the schedule, but then if I don't, that's also just a built-in hour for me to catch up on some things.
Do you have any lessons learned to share maybe with folks who are considering entering private practice ownership?
Some lessons learned. I mean, lots of little things maybe. I think once you just start that first step and just start researching things, like, you're going to discover things that you either obviously didn't know, but things maybe you knew, but maybe they were called a different name. That's just a really general answer, but I'm trying to think of some specifics. I just think it kind of opens your eyes to, like, the business side of audiology. I mean, you've got to think about every little thing from a different point of view, not just, you know, your clinical skills of seeing patients, but being a business owner and running a business. I mean, healthcare is a business, so you have to think about all those numbers and all those things.
And kind of under the same guise, is there any specific advice that you might have for somebody who's interested in private practice? It sounds like one thing certainly would be boning up on the research on the business side, but any particular things you'd want people to consider if they're interested?
If you are interested in private practice, you should do it. I think certainly there's risk involved, but you're making a risk on yourself. And if you, you should feel confident. Then it's less risky. So if you're interested in private practice, you need to get started and do some research and Google and email me, and I'd be happy to help. But I think if you're interested, my advice would be to do it. You're interested for a reason. You'll be successful at it. I think we just don't get enough positive encouragement. I think in school or whenever we talk to people, or maybe it's just me, I mean, I feel like some people, it's always negative, you know. Private practice, oh, that's so hard. You're always going to be working. You're going to have to spend so much money. You're going to go into debt, just all these risks. But why does it always have to be doom and gloom? You know, think about it, that it's a risk you're taking on yourself. And if you've prepared well enough, then you should be successful. So do it.
Do you see or have you noted any common misconceptions that people have about private practice ownership in particular? I know you listed, it sounds like, a few in terms of, you know, the debt potentially and other things.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't know anything I'd like to add, but I do think that would be my answer. Again, I think a misconception is that people think it's impossible. They think it's too expensive. They think it's too hard to do on your own. And it's not. It just isn't. And I think we don't have enough people saying that. And I think once people get that encouragement, it's cliche, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I mean, it really is possible. It's attainable. That's what I want the take-home to be. I mean, I think it would be great for our profession. Obviously, ADA's mission, autonomy. I mean, there's no better way to do that than to be in business for yourself. So it's doable.
And is there anything else that you would like people to know specifically about the path to practice ownership or anything really in terms of being an early career professional in audiology?
Maybe it's kind of along the same lines. I think being in business for yourself, being a practice owner, I think it's one of the best things that you can do in your career, in your profession. It's definitely the best move that I've made. I think just for people to know it's okay to take a risk. I always, actually, this is what I had in my head when I was doing this. Certainly it's an investment, you know, time, money. But what's the worst thing that's going to happen? In my head, I just kept thinking that, well, what's the worst thing that happened? You know, okay, it doesn't work. I just find another job. Well, there's lots of audiology jobs. So what's the worst that could happen? So what I want people to know about, I guess, the path is that there is a path. You can do it, and I think you'll be successful. So don't let anyone tell you any differently.